Amen. I want you to turn to the book of James, the epistle or the letter that was written by James to the church at Jerusalem. Amen. Book of James, chapter 5. A chance to turn to it. I want you to read it. I want you to see it. Man. James 5, 13. The scripture says here, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isn't that amazing? Even all what prayer will do when we just do it. Amen. Would you pray with me, Lord, tonight, to the Lord tonight? Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the hope that you give, the help of your spirit. We praise you. We love you. We bless you tonight for what you're going to do in this house. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. James was saying here, is there anybody afflicted or suffering? And I'm thankful God still answers the prayer of a suffering person. Amen. And prayer is important. He said, if there's anybody sick, you call for the spiritual leaders of the church and they pray over you, anointing with oil. And we're so thankful that God does restore and heal. And he says, if you have something in your life, confess your sins, your false steps, your offenses, and pray one for another that you may be healed on the inside. But it says a fervent prayer, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much when put into action and made effective in his life by praying. But this is what he's basically saying. It ought to be a common practice to us to pray. Prayer should never be just something that we just do when we have to push a red button in an emergency situation. Prayer should not be something that we do just when we want something. But prayer should be something that ought to be spontaneous, automatic, and continuous in our life. And we're so thankful that the prayer, amen, of God's people is very important. I read up on a man named Jerome Stowell. He was a scientist, and I want to share with you what I've learned concerning him. Jerome Stowell, he begins to talk about the scripture, where about the fervent prayer, how powerful prayer began to work in his life. Now, let me give you a background. This scientist, very prominent, was once an atheist till he was involved in something in a lab that they were studying wavelengths of people's brains when they were dying. And they hooked this person up, and there was a lady that had deadly brain cancer. But in her soul and in spirit, she was very, very perfect. Everything was fine with her, but they knew that she would be passing, and they wanted to capture her suffering and her dying, and they wanted to see what the difference was. Well, you know, physically, she was in a poor condition, but her spirit was connected to the Almighty God. This lady just so happened to be a lady that was very much devout in prayer, that knew how to pray, that knew how to talk to God. and I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about, when we talk about a relationship, it's not something you got years ago. It's not an experience, it's a relationship, a daily relationship. Most people feel like I go to church, you know, that kind of clears my conscience and I'm okay. That's not what we're talking about. Going to church will not save you, like going to McDonald's won't make you a Happy Meal. And that's the truth. I got to have a relationship with God. I need to know how to commune with the Lord, pray. And so this woman was in the hospital, and physically her body was going down very quickly. And there were five other scientists with Jerome Stoll, and they had hooked up microphones. They had different leads on her body. They wanted to capture the whole process of her dying. Meanwhile, while they were in the next room with all the equipment, and as she began to ease into that place where it was near death, they could tell by her breathing, heart rate, etc., blood pressure. And if you've ever been around, I mean, there's some signs. And everything was there. But there was such a different presence on her face as she began to weakly pray. In her weak moments of prayer, there was a dynamic power and aura that began to come all over her body. The scientists began to notice that, but the machine and the instruments and the computers next door, they had indicators, and this thing began to register higher than a AM station puts out its broadcast, the power of it. And the output was so amazing to those scientists. If there was 500 degrees positive on the positive side of this scale, they knew that. And it began to amaze the group that there was definitely, in her dying moment, some kind of radio waves or something similar to that that was happening in her whole body as she was easing off into eternity. And very much during that period of time, amen, there was other evidence by the glow and the contentment and the joy that was on her face as she was talking to God. Now remember, Jerome was an atheist. He did not believe in God. But whenever he began to look at this, he scratched his head. And in their studies and the different things and even filming this death, they began to take it and began to study it over and over and over again. As her breath began to get very, very shallow, they noticed something at that same time. She began to glow with a glow on the that just like, I mean, something began all over her. It wasn't a glow like light, but I mean, you know, her facial features. And a joyful look came all over her as she ended the journey of her life. But what the whole point was that their machines registered a great surge of energy that happened while she was praying. Now, they also did studies of other people, and they found that it was nothing but just boom, nothing there. People that were dying in this cancer ward, nothing was happening when they passed away. But they did study a man who was in the same ward as he was passing away. He was a very, very sad individual that as he began to pass away, he began to curse, began to use language against the Almighty God, began to take the name of the Lord in vain, and this man began to grit his teeth in frustration and madness and aggravation, and he cursed God. He cursed people around him with such hatred. Do you know that the same indicator that went very wild for the lady went to the negative side? If there was degrees, he said 500 degrees to the negative side of the indicator. And from that time forth, Jerome Stoll, in all the study, when they started putting together, they looked at the films over and over again. He said, that was the time that God got my attention in all my studies. It was something that this little lady had. Amen. That impressed me and showed that there is an invisible, visible force that happens when somebody prays. Are you thankful that God still answered prayer today? Isn't it wonderful how powerful prayer is? Amen. How great it is when you pray to God. That's the reason why tonight, let me just help you and let me just challenge you. When you pray, just don't mumble. Just don't just go through the routine. Amen. Our prayer is not a ritual. It should never be a ritual. It should be a joyous time to talk to God. Even when we have to cry out, like Brother Chad talked about tonight. Even when there is a crying out to the Almighty God, I'm glad that my God hears my prayer. Now, we know that the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon us. There is a power. And multiple times I have witnessed, amen, the power of the Holy God of heaven coming into life. And watching them, amen, as a supernatural power came. Amen. And I'm thankful for the glory of the Lord tonight, the evidence of God. And how beautiful it is whenever you start seeing this happen in somebody's life. I want to tell you, God has more than religion for you. God has himself for you. Amen. I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost is not just a little gift that God gives, but it's the God of heaven coming in your life. It's the gift of God, the gift of God himself in you. And he begins to take your life, even though you live in a miserable condition before. When you turn to God, what a difference God will make in your soul. God is still a transforming God. Amen. Total transforming. Now, what extremes that these scientists found, that when somebody's in touch with God and somebody's not in touch with God, there was an extreme difference. And it caused Mr. Stoll to turn to God. And let me just say this, little does the world realize the impact of believing prayer. It's the moving of the resources of the infinite when you pray. I don't want to ever get to that place that I just pray just because everybody else is praying in a service. And I just join in. Oh, friend, there is something about it when you pray and you talk to the Almighty God. I question in our hour today, where is people's allegiance? It bugs me and bothers me when people are not allegiant to the American flag. But it bugs me and bothers me when people are not allegiant to the Almighty God. There's no sense of reference and no corresponding allegiance that they have. God is looking for those that will honor him, fear him, reverent him, and worship him when they pray. Praise God. Prayer is simply talking to God. But tonight, I want to just talk about the power of prayer and how wonderful it is. Amen. When we rely on organization, we rely upon even education, you try to fathom it all out, look for all the pieces. I want to tell you, there's sometimes prayer cannot be written down. Prayer cannot be put into words. There's sometimes, like the man in the Bible, all he could do is beat his chest and say, God, have mercy on me. Prayer must be a heart thing. Prayer must be something from within. And we find that when it happens in your life, when prayer is deeply given to God and you're honoring God and you're subjected to God, how beautiful it is when God begins to work on the other end. We have watched God answer prayers in this church. We've seen God do the miraculous that I've had people tell me there's no such thing as the miraculous in our hour that we're living in. I have people from time to time will tell me there's churches in Nacogdoches that do not believe in the power of an answer or miraculous move of God. They don't believe in that. Amen. But they will believe in all the jive of the world. They believe in all the aura, all the different things that the world begins to talk about. And here they are. They're tuned into a lot of different things. But when you tune into God, there's nothing more beautiful and convincing when God touches your back and God speaks to you. Amen. God speaks today. God ministers today. God's touching. God provides today. He's still God. But how can a person go to church and they talk about God, but they believe that the properties of God are null and void? The church today is nothing but just a social club or just the people that just come together. Faith cannot operate until you believe that God is. And you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and search after him. God is wanting this generation and us, his people, to be reminded that he is still in control when things are out of control. Amen. Let me say this today. Amen. Prayer is relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ many times. But prayer goes deeper than that, more than petitioning and relying on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's communing with him, talking to him. And how wonderful it is when we pray and we talk to the Lord. You open your heart and you find that something begins to happen. There is a dynamic evidence that comes. And I love it whenever I read the word of the Lord and I find that Luke wrote a beautiful narrative when Jesus was born of a man named Simeon. He was an old man who was in the temple waiting every day. He knew that he would see the Christ child born. And all the thousands in Israel, he was the only man sensitive to God's intention. There were a lot of other priests. He was a Levite, and he was a priest. He was part of the Sanhedrin, but he was the one that was day and night, the scripture says, in the temple seeking and waiting. The Lord made him a promise that one day he was going to see Christ. And there was also a prophetess, a lady named Anna. She was there too, and she departed not from the temple as well. She stayed around. And the scripture says, both of these, they served God with fastings and prayer night and day continuously. Finally, one day, because of their faithfulness to prayer, they were there when it happened, when Mary and Joseph entered into the temple to present their son. Luke 2:28 says, they took him in their arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. That old man, Simeon, finally, with that baby in his hands, he literally had God in his hands. The God of heaven. You see, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. As a man, he slept. As a man, he ate. But as God, he put new eyes in a place that did not have eyes. As God, he calmed the storm waters. As God, he did the miraculous. I'm thankful tonight that the same God that Simeon had in his hands is a God that can live inside of your life and change you. That powerful creator, that powerful one that spoke this world into existence can be in your heart. Not only can Jesus be in your heart, amen. Oh, friend, he could be in other people's heart too. It's not just a me deal. It's a great thing that when we together understand that the same time you're in touch with God, God could fill other people. He could come to live in people's life with his spirit. I love it because right after God filled the New Testament believers, New Testament church was started, Peter and John were going into the temple, and there was a lame man. The Bible said he had been lame from his mother's womb, and he was laid daily. Somebody loved him enough to lay him daily at the gates of the temple. How did he make his living? This was a man about 40 years old. He made his living by begging. And if he got something to eat, it's because somebody gave. And by the generosity of the temple worshipers, he was laid right there, hoping that somebody would give him something for the day. But this particular day, the Bible says, two new Christians named Peter and John, full of the Holy Ghost. They were going to the temple for prayer, and when they came to the gate, the man asked alms for them. He asked alms, do you have anything? Hey, alms. He probably rattled his little cup. Peter, the Bible says, looking on the crippled man with John, said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I thee. And he took the lame man by the right hand and lifted him up. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says, immediately this man's feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked, and he walked and leaped all the way into the temple with Peter and John. Such as they had. I want to tell you, I'm glad that this is shareable. This is something that we also can share and we can experience together as God's people. The dynamic power of prayer, the dynamic power when somebody begins to connect with the Almighty God. All through the word of the Lord, we find there was dynamic connection. In Acts, the second chapter, the Feast of Pentecost, there was dynamic connection when those that gathered in the upper room, when they yielded themselves and surrendered themselves and began to pray to God, God, like he promised, filled the house where they were sitting, and the Spirit of the Lord fell on every one of them. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Back to scripture says, and as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were waiting, suddenly there came unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and set upon each of them. You see the pictures depicting just a flame of fire on their head. No, it set upon each of them, their being. And they began to speak with other tongues, amen, and glorify God. And when people begin to question, what is the meaning of this? Peter, standing up with the 11, said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, prophesied over 400 something years prior to that moment, that one day God's going to pour out his Spirit and people are going to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives. The Isaiah prophesied about it, that with stammered lips and another tongue would God speak. Amen. I'm telling you, what a power, amen, when God fills people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many here, you remember the moment that God filled you with the Holy Ghost and you spake with tongues? It's not something that you learn. Not something that you, it's an unknown tongue that happens. How beautiful it is whenever the Spirit of the Lord begins to come over you and you pray in a tongue that is not your native tongue. And the Spirit of the Lord is helping you, enabling you, even to pray. The Bible says, they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or ability. And when I was a kid, there was a group of people that had classes how to teach people to speak in tongues. That, I'm telling you, that's not right. I mean, nobody could teach you how this language. I mean, you got to yield yourself and let it be supernatural. Even the Spirit of God coming in. Amen. By the way, don't take my word for it. Take the word of God. Amen. It's happening. It happens all around us. Amen. God is filling people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And America, their spiritual relationship, amen, their allegiance to the Almighty God has left them. And God is filling people in the Philippines right now. Amen. The Philippines, such a movement of God. Amen. In the Philippines, there are people that God is filling. In Brazil, it's the same way. In the continent of Africa, God is doing a mighty work. But y'all know where the greatest, one of the greatest revivals where people come to God at? China. China. It's illegal to own a Bible in China. It's illegal to have church in China. But there are people that are so hungry for God and they want to connect. And when they pray and God is filling with the Holy Ghost, let me give you other cases. I mean, there's a lot of Muslim people that practice the religion Islam in countries like Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. You think it's crazy, but You know, God is filling them with the Holy Ghost. There is a mighty group of people in Iran right now that God is raising up full of the Holy Ghost. Now, all the news and stuff, all we hear about is the terrorists. All we hear about is the bad potatoes. But I'm glad that God has a church that he's raising up, and he's proven himself in this hour that he's still God. And we hear this, but I want to just encourage you that there's a dynamic relationship waiting on you when you pray. You've got to learn to seek God, yield to God, and how dynamic it is whenever somebody begins to let God and they begin to focus when they pray on the Lord. Amen. And how wonderful when you yield. And I had to pray, God, teach me. And in order to know how to pray, you've got to be a student. We've got to be a student of prayer. Do you remember that Jesus had some disciples and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I want to be schooled by the Lord and learn how to pray. I don't want to pray just my normal little ritual prayer. I don't want to pray the same thing. Lord, bless me. Protect me tonight, Lord. Lord, I want to be able to talk to God and commune with God. God talking to me. God guide me. Lord, should I buy this or should I not? When you had to make a decision, should I take this job or should I not take it? I want to be sensitive to the Lord enough to know his voice that he could guide and speak to me. I'm telling you, God can speak. God can speak to people when they pray and they're sensitive to the Almighty God. The problem today is there are people don't give God a chance. They write the power of prayer off. But praying and talking to God is still a dynamic thing. I'm telling you, even the most powerful generated force there is, according to the scientist Jerome Stoll, he said it's prayer to the Almighty God. I want to tell somebody tonight in this place, amen, many times you're going to be discouraged and the enemy's going to come and make you feel that your experience with God, that was just a moment of excitement. It was just a moment of sensation. But I come to tell you, the enemy knows the power of prayer. He knows the power of that one true God. Do you know the devil believes in one God and he trembles? And if he can confuse you and steal from you your allegiance to the Almighty God, he could get your heart. But the power of prayer is when a church and a people and individuals begin to seek God. Prayer must be learned. Amen. And there's no shortcuts in developing a prayer life. We'll talk about that later. But tonight, we're talking about the dynamics of prayer. Prayer, you have to be in the school. You got to be enrolled in it. And just like a baby don't get out of, you know, when he just start learning to take a few steps, he don't get out and run a marathon. And praying that way, you got to learn. You got to learn to pray. You got to develop your prayer life. You got to learn how to talk to Jesus, to listen to Jesus. I mean, you got to be a good listener. When my teacher in school used to tell everybody, God gave you two ears and one mouth. He wants you to hear twice as much as you talk. And back in those days, they had chalkboards. That's back in the dinosaur age, Thomas. And I can remember the teacher that I had, she drew a circle on the chalkboard. And there was a young boy that liked to talk all the time. His name was David Perkins. Well, David Perkins, I think he about bore a hole in that chalkboard with his nose. Because every day he had to visit the chalkboard and stick his nose in the circle because he liked to talk. And she would always say, David, you have two ears. And ironically, this poor little boy's ears are huge. And she said, you have two ears. And one mouth, and man, so whenever I think about that, I always think about that poor little boy. No telling where he's at in life right now. But I want to just encourage you that God wants you to know his voice. God wants you to know his touch. God wants you to know his answers. God wants you to know his guidance. There's sometimes God should not have to speak to you in an audible voice. God should impress your heart. Learn when God speaks to you. Learn the things of the Lord God Almighty, how God can impress you. But you have to enroll in that school and begin to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Let me learn how to focus and stay in tune with you. How dynamic it is when somebody just lets God have its way. You start talking to God. Now, you're human just like I am. There's sometimes we empty our bucket and we say, okay, God, pour my heart out to you. Where's the answer? Many times I want the answer right then. But we got to realize that God has a will. God has a purpose for our lives. Many times God don't give us what we ask for in the measure that we ask for it. Thank the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful that when God says no, there's a greater yes. That when we pray and God says, mm-mm. And when you run in a brick wall, when you want something, but God, I want that. God says, no. And I know a young man that he was wooed by a beautiful young girl. And he meant to talk to different ones, say, I want you to pray, man. He said, I want to marry that girl. And, well, he asked the wrong person. Because this person was a prayer warrior that prayed all the time. He said, would you pray with me? But the third day, that person got a hold of him and said, I need to talk to you. He said, the Lord told me to tell you no. That young man said, there's no way God would tell me no. And that man said, let me just tell you. He said, she's two-timing you right now. The Lord told me, he said, in fact, if you would go tonight, he said, there's Burger King, and he named the street. He said, you go at this time. He said, the Lord showed me in a dream exactly. And he said, you go there and you see for yourself. Sure enough, the boy went there a little early, parked his car. Well, Miss Charm pulled up, and she pulled up in the arms of another guy. Hey, I'm telling you, God's on target, isn't he? I'm glad that God says no sometimes. Amen. This boy never knew that she was a two-timing thing. Boy, his heart was broken that day, but I want to tell you, God gave him a little sense to listen to people that talk to God. Thank God for it. Amen. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need the prayers of God's church. Because, amen, you can see what's over behind my shoulder, and I can't see what's back here, but you can. And a lot of times we can see what's looming up in our shadows. We can see what's looming up in other people's shadows that they can't see. Thank God for praying people that will help each other out. Amen. The dynamics of prayer. The dynamics of believing God and trusting God. Brother Carson's going to put a little short clip up there. The other night, Brother Michael Alexandra has two boys. You're going to see a picture of one of them in just a little bit. But the first one, his oldest son went to a service in California. And on the way back, it was foggy. They left late, and it was headed back to Yuma, Arizona. And what happened was the car they were in, a vehicle hit their car. And Lance was knocked. His seat was knocked. He was leaning back like this, all the way in the back seat of the car, from what I understand. His back was hurting. His friend was driving. His friend got out of the car. And his friend was standing on the side of the road. But Lance's back was hurting real bad, from what I gather. Listen to this. No other vehicles was around. All of a sudden, a well-dressed man came to the car. Well-dressed. And he looked in, and he said his name, Lance. You're in a bad spot. Get out of the car immediately. And Lance was hurting. But he pushed himself out of the car and got out. And within moments of finally getting to the side of the road, just right there, this is what happens. He's going to play that again. I'm going to just show you. He said, boom. Had he not stepped to the side of the road, he said, he would have been in that car and it would have been the end of his life. Now, the other car that pulled up in front pulled up after that man had come to the side of the car. And he didn't go to that car. And when they looked for the man that was well-dressed, he could not be found. I want to tell the church tonight, these that are here, that's the God that I serve. Amen. God will send his angels to help deliver us. Amen. Don't you remember the three Hebrew children in their fiery furnace? God. Amen. Oh, amen. Oh, the angel of the Lord was with them. And the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. That's the God I serve. Tonight, I have a God that is able to visit the jail cells. The angel of the Lord visited jail cells before. The angel of the Lord has been before people, before kings and different ones before. The angel of the Lord spoke to a man named Cornelius in the Bible and told Cornelius where he needed to send people and what needed to be done. He said, Simon Peter's over there. Get Simon, and he's going to tell you what you need to do to be saved. I'm glad that God cares about us today, that God still answers prayer. Amen. God still hears the cry of people. We're believing the Lord to touch Newman Ellis. Newman is going through it right now and can't hardly breathe because of the fluid backup and different things in the mitral valve of his heart. All these different things has been happening. But I have a great God, great, great God that instantly could heal that man tonight. That instantly, because a people believe their God. When we talk to God, we have allegiance to God. We have faith in God. We believe that when we pray that God is God enough to answer. Amen. And we teach, you hear me say, specific prayers get, God can do it tonight. Do you have the faith enough in God that he can't answer? He can fill Newman Ellis with healing and the Holy Ghost. Cassie, wouldn't that be beautiful to have your husband in church with you? Wouldn't it be beautiful that all of a sudden he could reach over and hug you in the middle of the house of God and say, whoa, this is awesome, honey. Amen. God could give you that picture in your heart and your life. Amen. Because God is still God. Amen. How many of you God has brought out of darkness? Let me see. How many of God has snatched you just right on time? How many of you had to answer a prayer this week? This week, God's answered a prayer. You there? God's on time. Dynamics of prayer. Now, I want to put the other picture up here tonight of the other Alexander boy. This is Logan. He's 16 years old. Logan's full of the Holy Ghost. Logan, for the last little bit, has been coughing up blood. The doctors don't know what the answer is. They don't have answers. And so Brother Alexander, pastors in Yuma, he said, Brother Crosswhite, would you please pray for Logan? And immediately, I felt the Lord said, get his picture and show the church. Logan looked at his daddy. He said, Daddy, there's no sin in my life. I have nothing in my heart. He said, I'm ready to meet God. But he said, I believe God has something for my life. And I believe God could heal that boy right now. And no more coughing up blood. And this is going to, he sent me a picture, and I'm not going to share it with you, but a picture. When he wakes him up, all over his undershirt at night is blood, all over his sleeve, dry blood, all over his pillow is blood, all over his bed is blood, and the doctors can't figure it out. But I have a God who's able. There's another picture of him. Is there another picture of Logan, or I sent you one? Anyway, you see that picture? I believe God can. I want you to adopt Logan right now in your prayer. Take a mental picture of this young boy that, even that saying, I'm believing God. Daddy, I believe God has something for my life. And if this boy has that kind of faith, I have that kind of faith to trust God, amen, to touch him in right now in Yuma, Arizona. Our God is able. Hallelujah. Your prayers, God hears. Now, we have bus kids that are coming to our church that we pick up all over Nacogdoches. And these people that come from homes where all thing they know how to do is drink, do drugs, marijuana, etc., and etc. And we reach to people every week in the jails. People despair. They can't. Things are happening in their life. We touch base with teenagers that are troubled on the inside. Every day, every week, our world, it seems there's more and more people that are addicted, more and more people that are depressed, more and more people that don't know the help of God, the hand of God. But we've got a God here tonight that we know who can answer the prayer of somebody and his church tonight when we pray. And we know the Bible says where two or three agree, there's power. I want you to agree with me right now that God would touch these knees. This young boy named Logan, God would touch Newman. And God would touch our bus children. Amen. I hate to call them bus children, but they're our children. Amen. Would you right now pray to the Lord with me? God, I pray for lives that God we're talking about tonight to be touched by your spirit. God, I believe you, Lord Jesus, for the power of your spirit, the glory of the Holy Ghost tonight, God, to fill and fulfill these lives, Lord. You're God enough, Lord, to touch even as we bind together right now Logan's body, Newman's body, these children's life, Lord Jesus, these teenagers, these adults, God, that don't know where to go, what to do. God, these that are bound in sin. Lord, I thank you tonight for the church being right here before me, Lord. These that have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost right here. Those that you touched their body, provided for them many times before. Would you right now, Jesus, answer those prayers, God? Would you touch your people, Lord? I ask and I believe you, Lord, tonight as I lift my hands to you. I believe you tonight for answers. Amen. Can you lift both your hands and give it to the Lord? I give it over to you, Jesus, right now. I give it over to you, God, these needs. Amen. And in faith, I trust you for the power of your way to be done in these lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Y'all know how Brother Van, he can't hear. So when Sister Crosswhite says, she interprets, my wife interprets to him the word amen. You see her do that? I ask, why? And it's just like a judge or somebody that has an ink seal. When they notarize something, they stamp it. So when you pray and you say, in Jesus' name, amen, you're sealing the deal.
I'm thankful tonight that when we pray, we say in Jesus' name,
amen.
You ought to seal the deal tonight that God is a God that answers. Amen. The next thing, and we're fixing to close, the reason why we lift our hands, number one, the Bible tells us to lift our hands when we pray.
We lift our hands. The Bible that talks about praying and lifting your hands. Well, come on, Brother Ashton, you can help me on this one. Me and Brother Ashton here, he don't know who I am, and I don't know who he is, but I'm a mean dude, so I pulled out of my pocket a big old gun and said, stick him up. This is a universal sign for surrender. Now, this right here ain't stick him up. He gonna get some lead. But when you stick them up, this is a universal sign. Whether you're in Afghanistan in the war or whether you're up in South America, this is a universal sign of I surrender. In fact, we had gone to Honduras one time, and I seen, it was funny, their police department in La Ceiba, Honduras, they ride motorcycles. Two officers per motorcycle. Motorcycle. You heard me say motorcycle. The man on the back had a machine gun, and they come pulling up. And all of a sudden, this man sticks his hand up. And I gladly surrender too. That's a surrender sign. But the beautiful thing about it is that same sign, Brother Ashton, is a victory sign. When somebody wins the Olympic medal, somebody wins a boxing match, they raise their hands. No wonder in church we raise our hands. We want victory in Jesus, but it first must start with a surrender. If you never learn to surrender yourself to God, many people surrender their problems. Oh God, here's all my problems, but they won't give themselves to God. God's looking for a church to be victorious that knows how to surrender to him when they pray. Stand tonight. This is not a deep lesson, but it is a deep lesson.
Prayer is not something so deep that you can't enter in.
Well, the Spirit is. You can pray. You can have the dynamic power of the Lord. If that little dying lady with cancer, the glory of the Lord could give evidence to atheists that were in the study of this and change their lives, how much more should it change our lives when we pray and know our God? God's so good. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Would you lift your hands with me tonight? Would you lift your hands above your head and just reach up to God? Lord, help us. God, move me with the spirit of prayer. Move me, God, with fervent prayer. Use me, O Lord. God, I want my prayer time to be real and productive. When I pray, God, I want it to be meaning. Give me allegiance. Give me faith, O Lord. Use my life, God, that I could be, Lord, that one that knows the dynamics of prayers and communion with you, Jesus. I praise you and I love you today. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Can you whisper that name? Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Now, can somebody say amen? Amen. God bless you tonight. Paul, so good to have you tonight. This is probably totally mind-boggling, Paul. We're glad you're here tonight. God still answers prayer, Paul. He'll answer your prayer too, friend. And we're thankful for that. Amen. We love you. Let's grow to heaven. How?
Yeah.
You're dismissed.